Hello, everybody. I'm Lisa Burwell, your host of VSpeaks Conversations with Heart and Soul. We are debuting season three, and my next guest is the first of season three, and I'm so excited to introduce you to Maricel Gulo, who is an artist, a mother, a furniture maker, owner of Not Too Shabby Stores with two locations, one in Miramar Beach and the other in 30 Avenue. Huge showroom. She's also a designer, and she is newly going to be birthing a new business where she is going to be the owner and founder of her own design build firm with the name not to be announced quite yet, but that is going to be pretty amazing. So Maricel, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much.
I'm so happy that you're here.
Well, thank you for having me, Lisa.
You're so welcome. So we'll go back to the beginning of the story, but not until we talk about the most recent excursion that we had together, which was only Thursday, in your beautiful home in Churchill Oaks. That was the first design-build home that you and your husband, Tony, worked together on. And we can all attest to how absolutely unique and gorgeous and next level that home is, that is so new and something that's not done before. In a world where so many things are done over and over again, it's hard to be new. Tell me what you think about that.
Well, I am, I do like to do new things. I know we live in an area which people vacation here to do. I mean, they come here for the beach. They come here for all our, like, the beautiful sand, the beautiful water, the... All the houses are wanted to be white. The ones are not, like, but we're moving towards everything being white all the time. And we use the same furniture, the same colors. I do believe as an interior designer, you should push it. And what a better place to push it than my house? Mm-hmm. It's still very white. It's still very organic, very clean. Plus, I really feel... the things are moving towards that direction. So I wanted to do something that will stay relevant for a little bit. It might not have quite arrived, but I am pretty sure that that's the direction the design and mm-hmm. building is going. So I love it.
Yeah, it's so beautiful. And Thank it took you, a ridiculously unheard of short length of time to actually bring that to from ground up, which was something of a massive feat for you to do. And so tell us how you did that in 12 months when most builders cannot do it in a much longer time than that.
Well, I really don't want to give myself that much credit in the way that I really personally think that the building process is not rocket science. It's all about scheduling. And I also will say it about myself. I'm a finisher. I don't like to have things lingering for months or months and months. So really, it was all about scheduling. And
you were hands-on, too.
And I was, yes, I was hands-on. Right. One time, like, it's kind of funny because one time we were going to go, actually, for my birthday last year, we were going to go to Miami for a trip that my friends planned for me. And then I was late for a flight. And my husband sent them a photo. And there I was in the roof with my Miami clothes because I was ready to go. But then we were having a problem with the roof and the parapets and in the waterproofing. So I do whatever required to do to be done and to be efficient. Right. So.
And now you live there and you're living in the space, which must feel incredible that it's your own creation that you're living in.
It does. The house have a really good energy. It's like, it has very, very clean lines.
It does.
I think not many homes that has all gallery walls, which is something I really love, how mm-hmm. clean the lines is. Mm-hmm. Having all the Venetian plaster meeting, like the choa stone floors, it makes it feel like old world but like contemporary mm-hmm. at the same time. It's yes. just a warm contemporary. It's not like contemporary leather, like European. It's like a beach contemporary vibe.
Right. It's so magnificent. And your art that you, and your, the chandeliers, so many different chandeliers in that great room that all just magically work like an art gallery. You know, I think that every piece is so purposeful. Your outdoor space is one of the largest, most cool outdoor spaces I've seen in a really long time. That's amazing. And just so many things. And so for our listeners and viewers, you will see this beautiful artisan and creator grace the cover of our annual Home and Design issue in November. And we did this amazing shoot that she brought to life with Ramona Robbins Reynolds as our photographer, and a great crew on set that day. And everyone brought it, and you did an amazing job. We've done many, many shoots before over the past 15 years. And I would have to say that your closet rivals movie stars.
Wow.
Closet is unbelievable. You have such amazing taste, and wait till you see it, everybody. It's something that we're all really excited about here, and to share her home and get a glimpse into her home and her lifestyle and her talent and her design aesthetic sensibility, as well as like the most tricked out clothes that you could possibly imagine. And you did great. You did such a good job. There were so many people in your house. And for a split second, a couple of times, I went and I opened your refrigerator to get some water. And then I stopped myself and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm opening Marisol's refrigerator. And like, this is her home and this seems rude. But I was just like so wired to think like, well, I'm on set right now, so I have to get some water. But then that made me think about how there was such intrusion on your own home. And the fact that you just were so gracious and calm when about, I don't know, 20 people were in your house at one time going on. I have to say, on so many levels, so many great things happened that day. But my hat's off to you for having immense composure. I mean, it was unbelievable to watch that. And there were so many other things that were a feat that were going on. But that was impressive.
Well, thank you. I really will have to give you credit for that, Lisa, because you made it so comfortable. You made it, it did not feel that way. It did not feel like an intrusion. And everybody was trying to help me to look the best that I could look, to like fluff this little corner, because we're taking a photo here and then we already have like run through the house and got everything on fluff. I really will give you guys the credit for that, how seamless and how professional and sweet everybody was. Yeah, to me, to my husband, to my dog, to the house. Like, everybody was so respectful.
Right. I know. It was amazing. But it does take a team. And, you know, so many people working on that behind the scenes to prep and get ready. So that's like our art director, Sally Neal, who was putting the inspiration board together. And then Kelly Curry, who's our marketing director and of communications and everything else to make that come to life. And, you know, our Mark Little, the videographer, created a really groovy little spot.
He did.
That's going up.
When I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Yeah. Now you guys have made me look so good.
Yeah, like, that was amazing. That. Yeah. And so everybody. And then, you know, the article to come, you know, Jordan Staggs, our editor, is most likely going to write that or assign it out as well. So yeah, it's just like there's so many people to make something happen. But creatively, which is my favorite part of everything that I do, is to create and collaborate and like really build a team, work with a team that's functioning and cooking, and because then magic happens.
You've done it, Lisa. You really have done it. You build that team. And I mean, being a woman in business and making things happen, like I said, getting in the roof to do it myself. I know you do the same things. I mean, you get in your knees and you tie that. About you do whatever it takes. Correct. And you have created a team that respect you because that's who you are. So
thank you.
That's what made that day being so seamless and so fun too.
Yeah, like, it was fun.
Because it could have created a terrible, stressful memory. And it really didn't. Like, it created a beautiful memory for both of us, which is really...
Did you go out to dinner after that too?
Or, I did. I went out to dinner with Roy and Wendy. Yeah. They actually... Wendy went back home and changed back into her comfy clothes. And then we went to Cross.
Yeah, well, I respect that you could even have the energy to do that.
Well, but they came for the, you know, they flew in to be behind the scenes in that photo shoot. So I owe it to them.
Yes.
So, and I love them too, obviously. Right.
They're the developers of Churchill Oaks, everybody where Marisol's house is located on the bay. And this, non-rental private community that is really truly a spectacular community that not that many people know about, obviously, because it's private. But I think it's having its comeuppance and like it's really on the radar right now because so many people have like found the hidden gem that is Churchill Oaks. So, you know, it's going to keep going and there are some homes left to build in there. And I know you'll, you know, be keeping your eye on all of that too, as you move towards your new business. So let's go back to the beginning. When did you move here from Costa Rica? What year was that?
Oh my gosh. It feels like a lifetime ago because it was, it was in 2001. And the first time I came to Destin really was for our honeymoon because I met my husband, obviously, in Costa Rica, as everybody knows. We moved to Naples the first year of our marriage, Naples, Florida. And then, but we came through Destin for our honeymoon. We went to New Orleans to Jazz Fest and then stayed here like 3 days. We were like staying in somebody's house. I was super, I don't want to say broke, but we have no money. just want to say a little bit.
I think that's the definition of broke.
Correct. But we have no money. So we stay actually in my brother-in-law's father's house. He have a house in Gold Pine. We stay there. Then I remember my husband saying to me, he's like, this is what I want to live. And I was like, well, it's nothing here. Like, what am I going to do here? And then we just went back to Naples. And then a year later, we were presented with the opportunity to move here. And then we did it. So
that's amazing. And so you were a lawyer in Costa
Rica? I was a lawyer in Costa Rica when I met him. I met him at my work, which I will say this, being an educated person, a lawyer, an accountant, whatever you are, and moving to another country without speaking the language and without knowing no one is one of the most humbling processes that a human being can go through. Because, and I think that make me part of who the person I am today. Because God humbled he humbled me when I moved here. I did not speak the language. I mean, I still have this super heavy accent, but when we met, I did not speak any English. And we got married like 6 months later. So I moved here like pretty fast.
Big change, life transition.
I think it's a life change move. Like it can make you angry or it can just put a fire in you and be like, you know what? I have to rebuild whatever it took me all these years to build myself, to become an attorney and sort of get what I wanted to be at 23, of course, and just lose all that all of a sudden. And I don't want to say this in an offensive way, but when I moved here, I felt like, you know, you're like a Mexican, like another Mexican, because I feel like the culture in the United States feel like everybody here that is Latino is from Mexico. And that's why I'm saying that, like as a Mexican. And it was pretty difficult, but then I made the decision. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to come out of this. I didn't want to go back to law school, but I will figure it out. And
What was the first thing that you did then when you finally got your sea legs under you when you came here?
So the first thing I did, believe it or not, I really didn't even have a permit to work. Because we got married in September 11. I mean, actually, we got married in April 19, mm-hmm. like in the courthouse, him and I, no rings, no nothing, because we were going to get married in September 17, like a wedding, and everybody were going to come to Naples, and September 11 happened. And so we had to cancel our wedding, so it was not wedding. Mm-hmm. And all the immigration paperwork that anyone was doing became was a halted. Nightmare. Mm-hmm. Because all the terrorists and all the, as you know, we know. Right, so it took me 3 years to get my paperwork. So my first job, the first thing I did, my first brilliant idea was, I was like, okay, I don't want to work for anyone. So I'm just going to start like a cleaning business with like an amazing employee, which is me, the first one. Just that's all I had. Yeah. Then I sort of like, while I was doing that, I kind of start, like, I always observe what is happening around me. So I kind of observed that it was a lot more money to be done in construction. Mm-hmm. And like the painters and whatnot make more money than I did. So that's how our first business came to be, which was really like Urban Solutions.
Yeah.
And we had, we have like 30 employees. Wow. And we became one of the largest paint contractors in our little area.
I did not know that. That's such an amazing story, like the baseline of that and what you had to overcome, but also what you were able to bring to the community of people that you were able to employ.
I think a lot of people, Lisa, in life, like get put in circumstances that we don't like. Mm-hmm. I mean, we actually do. I still get put in circumstances every day that mm-hmm. I don't like. Mm-hmm. And it's really what you made out of it. Mm-hmm. Like you can make a decision, okay, I'm going to succeed with whatever I have. And I'm going to try to get out of this rut as soon as possible. But meanwhile, I have to do something because I cannot go from here to what I really want to be.
Right.
So I have always been the person that I'm like, okay, well, here are the lemons. Let's just make some lemonade, right. Like as soon as possible.
Right. But it's so amazing because so few people do it where they just keep walking and walking and walking and don't stop because so many people get discouraged, tired, and they just quit, right? So sometimes I think, even in my own life, that my biggest claim to fame might be that I don't quit. Because sometimes, you know, I would have wanted to myself, but I don't. And I know that I have a kindred spirit in you mm-hmm. because you're not going to stop either. So it's pretty amazing.
Well, I always say, I used to be like, ask God, like, what is my talent? Like, what is the one thing that I am going to be amazing at it? And it took me years to understand that the gift he gave me was mm-hmm. perseverance. Mm-hmm. That's the gift he gave me. So I am very much like you. Yes. I would do with what I have and I would just keep my eyes on the bigger picture.
Well, he gave you a lot of talents because you do have you're more than a triple threat. You're a double triple threat.
Well, thank you.
So then how many years after that endeavor did you start art? Did you start creating art?
So that went into, I always said, like, I will work as hard as it needs to be worked, but I will not work, I will not give my efforts for free. In 2008, I think, when the economy got really, mm-hmm. really bad, obviously our construction industry stopped. And I was like, I'm not going to stay into the painting business because this is a waste of my efforts, mm-hmm. really. At that point, Tony and I have been married 9 years. I could not get pregnant. And I think it was like God gave me, then I got pregnant. Mm-hmm. So went through my pregnancy and I remember being 39 and mm-hmm. thinking, because growing up, I wanted to be an artist, but mm-hmm. I always, from seeing my mother and whatnot, I was like, I am going to become something that I don't have to depend on a man mm-hmm. or someone that want to let me go. And then I just don't know what to do because now I have all these kids and this life that I have to have. So that's why I went to law school in the first place. But I really wanted to be an artist. Mm-hmm. But I was like, nobody makes money with art, really. Mm-hmm. So when I was 39, I decided to give it a shot. I was like, well, it's now or never because I'm just about to be super old and be 40. Like, I wish I was right back then.
Yeah.
And then I just started painting. At that point, we already have our furniture store. And then I was like, you know, like, I started putting them in the store and they were selling. And I would never forget that I had, I cannot think of his name, but Kevin, he used to do all the work for Seaside.
Oh, I'll think of it in a second.
Okay. So he, and he always trying to encourage me and said, you're a really good artist, do more art. And I was like, not really. But then he told me, he said, what will make you think you are an artist? What is that thing that you are seeking that will validate you in your head? And I said, well, if I won like Stout Walton Artist of the Year, that I think that would do it. So he went and just filled the paperwork. And then he's like, okay, well, you're up for the challenge. And then I did 3 pieces of artwork and submitted them. And I won.
Well, that's great.
To my surprise.
Yeah, that was good of him to be such an advocate for you. And he knew how to connect you with the right people, and he believed in your work. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Because you do need people along the way to, you know, lift you. I mean, no matter where you're going, you do need to be lifted in some type of by a person, or, you know, I guess lifting yourself too. But there's always someone that comes along that helps you get to the next place. Yeah. What was the medium back then? Was it acrylic?
I was doing mixed media. Okay. I did like one of my pieces was like texture mixed media. And then I did a regular, what is it? A lionfish, mm-hmm. which I already have done one for mm-hmm. the Bay for Jim Shirley in the Bay. So it was the 3 that I submitted was mixed media.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah. And I think I had like, you know, the acrylic on one of them. Mm-hmm. I did.
Right. So then Not Too Shabby was located where at that point in time?
So Not Too Shabby was located at that point in the plaza with the post offices in Santa Rosa.
Okay.
Which is really our first location that we had. We started Not Too Shabby in our garage.
Okay.
When we used to live in, we had a big house in Sugar Drive in the Slalom Way. And Cory Pico's skin community. And we started there in a funny way because we were going to move.
Mm.
We were thinking to move. And then, like I said, everybody was moving. Tony's brother had moved away. I did want to move. My husband never wanted to move. He loves this, the beach, I got pregnant, and then I was still pursuing my husband to move. Mm-hmm. And I remember it was a huge house. So I was like, well, we got to get rid of some of this furniture. And he was like, let's do a garage sale. And we sold the pieces that I had made like super fast. And then he was like, well, we should do this for a living. You should paint, you know, like refurbished furniture. And I was like, no. I was like, this is a ton of work and it's not going to be profitable enough. How wrong was I, because it became sort of like a staple from there. Then I got pregnant and I was like, okay, fine. I will stay here. Mm-hmm. I love it. And this is really not a better place to raise a child.
Right. So that was the catalyst that made you want to put roots down here when you got pregnant.
Well, I was already live here for 9 years, but what it made me really because I love traveling, Lisa. Mm-hmm. I love culture. And our town has grown so much. But it wasn't that.
Right.
It was not to that point. So I kind of wanted to leave. But my son was the point that I was like, okay, I never want to move.
Right.
And I really don't.
Because it is a great place to raise a family.
It really is.
It is ideal for that.
And we have grown. The town has grown that now is not...
Yeah.
You know, we're not at that point anymore. It's things to do. And then we always travel. So.
Right. That's amazing. Wow. So when did your beautiful coveted tables that you made with your own hands, when did you start doing that in the chronology of everything you're telling me?
I will have to say probably 5 years ago, like, or, you know, probably a year before we did the...
The article.
Okay. Yeah, the article. I mean, I have done so much furniture. I did enjoy that very much. I'm
just going to show the camera this. This is Marisol, okay. Gorgeous Marisol, in her gorgeous table that is just unbelievable.
That's when I was very old. When I thought of myself, I was like, oh my gosh.
No, you're very young. You're still very young.
Yeah, well.
For sure. So how long did that take?
Well, that is a process. That takes a long, long time. Because then, I mean, the first thing you have to build is the mold for the table. Get these extremely heavy pieces of wood within the mold. And then you have to pour this, like do a ton of different pours. Because if you pour everything at once, it gets like super hot and it cracks everywhere. Mm-hmm. So, hours. And then you have to sand all the resin, which is extremely hard to sand. Yeah. But it's super fun too, though. Mm-hmm. So I didn't mind it. But maybe 80 hours.
Wow.
I mean, it takes a long time to polish those tables.
It's beautiful. It's a work of art, and it's absolutely stunning. So who would buy those pieces? Like people in Alice Beach or?
Well, I have actually people in Alice Beach. I think people from out of town, we have sent several, a lot of those tables to like, because, you know, people vacation here from North Carolina, from Nashville. So I actually have ship a lot of them away, and then I've sold a lot of them here as well.
Mm-hmm. So during the pandemic, which is further and further away from us now, thankfully, but that was a year after you were doing these tables then, right? About 4 years ago when did you think it was going to hurt your business, but instead it probably made it thrive?
So actually, I think it's funny because I think I just have signed the lease for my new location here when we start hearing about the pandemic. I not just have signed the lease, I'm lying. We were about to take possession of the unit. The courts have been doing the build out, like it was a 9-month process to get that thing for us to move. And then I was pretty terrified. I was very worried because I was like, well, this might be, and I was very insistent for a while to my husband that I wanted to have a studio more this way. And he finally was like, okay, fine, do it. And then the pandemic happened. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was going to hurt me. Yeah.
But it didn't.
It did not. I think the pandemic actually helped the furniture industry in a crazy way because everybody was home and everybody turned to their homes and be like, okay, now we want to make our homes beautiful. So it made all of us so busy, but it was so hard because we couldn't find no furniture. Like all the vendors were out furniture. I mean, it was pretty hard too.
It was, yeah. But our area, again, was so lucky that it could not only survive that hit, which most of the rest of the country didn't. Mm-hmm. And then we all were able to thrive to some degree, but very, very difficult. I found it one of the most difficult times of my life being in business for 31 years. I'd have to say that one gave me a run for my money.
It was. I think we all were like exhausted because we were trying to, I mean, you got to make the most of it when the opportunities are there. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't even know if I sleep anything ever, like during those months. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and then I actually, it was super, super hard. Like, yeah. I agree with you. Like, I said I lost like 4 years of my life.
Yeah. And then, it's a game of catch up. I noticed in the last maybe year and a half that it seems like it was a boomerang. You were surviving, you were, you know, thriving, but still nervous during the pandemic. And then it seems like the boomerang came back and you had to work harder and faster than you even did before because everything accelerated like, oh, now we're back to normal again. So like let's catch up on 4 years worth of work, which also has been a bizarre period to move in as a business owner, I would say, in the last year plus.
It has been really tricky because during the pandemic, we all got hit with a ton of work, but we had no resources and we were trying to compensate for that. So that made it, I mean, I had like 30 projects open because things will not come in mm-hmm. and you keep getting new projects and you're like, okay, but I'm missing like the dining room. I have mm-hmm. it was very stressful, difficult. But after a finish, which I thought, okay, now we're just going to slow down and mm-hmm. go back to normal. Mm-hmm. We still have a ton of projects open from the pandemic. Right. But then our town continued to grow and our town continued. I mean, I don't feel like it ever did a stop. Of course, now it's easier because I'm able to finish a project. Like I'm able to get all the things that I need and install them and be done and move forward. Mm-hmm. But I think it has been very different than mm-hmm. what I thought it was going to be mm-hmm. and very unpredictable mm-hmm. is the word I'm looking mm-hmm. for.
Yeah, good word. Definitely a good word. So how long had the idea that you had to create your own design build firm been swirling?
Well, it has been in my head for a while. Again, because I'm always kind of observing, like, what is my next move? Like, it's not like I am not grateful for what I have, but I'm always in my head. I'm always thinking, what is the next thing I want to do for the period that I am in my life? And mm-hmm. I mean, the reality is that now I'm really getting older and I want to. Like, I think I want to have a little bit more time to work in the things that I want to work. And I don't want to say that it's more like a legacy because it's really not that, but I want to grow something to give me a little bit more of freedom. Mm-hmm. I love my stores and I am going to continue in mm-hmm. the path of growing the stores. And of course, I love my interior design business because mm-hmm. I love all the people that I get to work with and all that. But I think creating a home mm-hmm. and get into designer with the right architect and get to work with the framers and just like modifying all these things is such a creating process too that also feeds my soul. Because mm-hmm. I feel like I need to, like, it makes me happy to mm-hmm. do those things. Mm-hmm. So I think it's probably where I want to stay. Like, I want to be able to do these beautiful homes and not like 30 of them, but like make them really special mm-hmm. and build two or three homes a year that are really, really beautiful mm-hmm. and enjoy the process mm-hmm. and be able to do it properly.
Right. And then in that too, what you're also able to bring to the table is you have the vision working with an architect and everything that you're doing in hands-on because you're going to be building it too. From ground up, you also probably have a vision for while that's going on and while it's being made, exactly how you're going to curate the interiors.
I do.
Yeah. And so when you're able to think that far out from breaking ground to the absolute end of it, where you are also basically going to see the interiors come to life from start to finish with fixtures and artwork and designs of kitchens and everything that you're doing, the color of the pillows that you have on yeah. your porch and everything, like so many details and so much fun. You can tell, I mean, obviously you have an amazing eye and you are different. You know, you really turn around and go, huh, that is pretty amazing. Like Asia, actually, I always call it that, Asia restaurant, like a neighbor of yours right there in 30 Avenue. So you're out in the commercial world too, between that and you doing the interiors for Sowall House, the very hip and happening Sowall House in Rosemary Beach, atop Paradise restaurant. You also did your handiwork on both of those as an artisan meets interior designer are really different and special.
Thank you for the special part.
Yeah.
I want to, like I said, I think we all do that's why I'm never worried about, I know that like stores around it and firms alike always worry that, oh my gosh, I have this brand. I'm not going to let anyone use the brand. I have it. I got to protect it and I'm going to fight with everyone. I'm never being that person because I feel like we all are so special. Like we can all grab the same chair and we will style it very different. If we're not trying to copy each other.
Right.
You know, we can get inspired by each other, but I usually, I just run with, I mean, I love the process of being able to pick the light fixtures, the colors, because you can see, it's like I'm doing a painting. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You can see the whole thing developing in your head.
Right.
And then you can put it in like beautiful boards and hopefully, you know, the homeowners don't crash your dreams too much because right. they are always moving things and changing things. But,
right.
you know, I love it.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. So what are some parting words of wisdom that you can give to somebody that wants to go do something? Especially like, women, like seeing as we're both women
yeah,
in businesses.
Like yeah, like if you, whatever business that you are, like if you're an interior designer, if you just go there and be hungry and go get it. Mm-hmm. It's there for the grabs. Mm-hmm. No matter how you think, don't concentrate on the difficulties. Just have a very clear goal of where you're going. And then it's just a step ladder to get there. Mm-hmm. Just follow, stay focused on your goal and go mm-hmm. get it.
Right. One more thing that I want to ask you. Your son came in at the end of the photo shoot and he's so adorable.
Thank you.
And what did he think of his mom being a cover girl for a magazine?
He's a boy, Lisa. If anything, he's like, please don't embarrass me. He's 13 now, and okay. anything that I do is embarrassing.
Oh, right.
Like if I get out of the car, yeah. God forbid, and give a kiss before school, I'm not even allowed to drive in front of the school.
Right.
I have to drop him like in the curb before so he can walk by himself. But he was very, Piper is our dog, but really, like, Piper is his dog.
Okay.
Like, of course, I'm the one that feeds her, and that's why she loves me so much, because I'm the one that actually take care of her.
Right.
But he was like, is Piper going to be, because he's, I show him one of the photos.
So he's more impressed with
correct,
that?
Correct.
Okay.
Just to make it sure. So he wants to make sure, he's like, is Piper going to be in the cover, Mom?
That's great.
So he's super excited about that.
Right.
I'm like, awesome. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
Yes, maybe. Maybe that will happen.
Who knows?
So are you excited? I'm excited.
I am.
Okay. I think it's going to be so fun.
I'm very excited. You know, I know you're going to curate the best photo.
Yeah.
I know Ramona did a fabulous job.
She did.
So I am just like.
Yeah, we can't wait.
I'm alone for the ride.
Yeah. So November, the November issue, it's only, you know, a month away.
Yeah.
You know, less than a month away, actually. Can you believe how fast that comes?
I mean, it comes so fast. I remember for us, like, I remember when you came and see the house, like, for the first time, mm-hmm. it was, like, before, it was March.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even have a CEO.
Yeah, correct.
You came in March, and then it wasn't even complete.
Right. You wanted me to see if there was something there. And I'm like, well, I'm sure it is if you're doing it. But then when I got there and my eyes were like overwhelmed with how that Venetian plaster is just all over there, that stair cases, a work of art. I mean, it really is. Everything that you did is really, really stunning. And I thank you for doing it because you did such a good job and you did make it fun.
Well,
and I like having fun.
Me too.
Anytime I can have some fun.
I mean, we have to work.
We have to work.
We like to work, right? So we might as well like spice it up with a little bit of fun here and there. Let's don't make it all boring.
Correct. Well, I definitely feel like we're kindred spirits for sure. And I thank you so much for everything, being on the podcast today. I know you're really busy for taking the time out last Thursday, which was a whole day off your calendar that you have to probably catch up on.
Yeah.
And everything. So, everybody, this is Marisol Gulo, and we thank you so much for being here. check in with us and also like all of our channels, our social marketing and YouTube when this spot is up and our other ones. And we hope you enjoy continuing to listen to V Speaks Conversations with Heart and Soul. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye.